Well, guys, last week we talked about this statement, take courage, and we're going to talk about it today. So the start of last year, we mentioned Psalm 23:5. He prepares a table before me in the midst of my enemies, and my cup overflows. And that's what we sort of lived out of for the whole year. We spent a few weeks on it last January, February, March time, and then we saw the fruit of it as the year went on. But this time, we've been praying, and we've been talking to God, and we've been listening to God, and what he kept coming back with was this idea of being courageous or having courage, you know, all different types of things like that. And then eventually, we came across this phrase, which you've probably heard many times all the way through the Bible, which is take courage. We're like, that's exactly it. We have to take courage. We're not trying to find it. I'm trying to take it. And I want to encourage you today. This is what we're going to explore for this next few weeks. And this is the word that I believe God's given us for the year. So let's read it together. Matthew chapter 14. We're probably going to look at Matthew 14 for a long time over these next few months. So by the end of it, you're going to be getting up here and quoting it by heart because you're going to know the verses so well. But Matthew chapter 14, it's an incredible section of scripture because it's got feeding the 5,000. John the Baptist gets beheaded. There's just so many different things going on in this portion of scripture. And then eventually it gets to 14 verse 23. And this is what it says. After sending them home, this is Jesus talking about the people that he's just fed, the 5,000. He has now sent them home. It says, then he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Notice this, try to imagine in your head. Jesus, he's been with the people, and now it says he goes up to the hills to pray. This is going to be important. It's important to note that. He goes to pray. It says, night fell while he was there alone. So now Jesus is alone. He's been with lots of people. He's not with his disciples, and he's on the hill, and he's praying to God. It says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble afar off from land. Isn't this just the story of your life? It's definitely the story of my life. It's like we've just seen an amazing miracle. Maybe you've just been to South Africa, and then you come home, and work is a nightmare. Maybe you've just had the most amazing week, just, I don't know, feasting on the things of God. And then you get a phone call on Saturday that just tells you incredibly bad news. This is life, church. This is how our life tends to go. It's like hills and valleys. It's like one minute you're in touch with God. You can almost feel his breath. It's incredible. And then the next thing you find out, life's going to the dogs. You know, it's just like everything's falling apart. This is how it works. So can I say it like this, church? Don't feel a victim in life. Amen. If you feel a victim in life, you're going to reinforce the life that you should not have. But instead, you should know who you are in Christ and know that no battle is wasted, that no storm is wasted when it comes to the things of God. In fact, he may even allow you to go through some because he wants you to be transformed and he wants you to grow. Here's what it goes on to say. It says they were in trouble afar off from land. For a strong wind had risen, and they were facing and fighting heavy waves. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. In the morning, Jesus came towards them. So just pause there just for a moment again, set the scene. Jesus is high on the hill praying. Can I just say that I think he's up there because he wants to be able to see his guys at the same time? So he's up on the hill praying, and he knows where his guys are. And then the storm rises up. I think he can see the storm. I think he knows the storm's coming. The guys are starting to fight it. They're going at it. It doesn't seem to be anything working. They just can't. They're just trying to stay afloat. You know, and you're just trying to make ends meet. You're just trying to get to the end of the day. You're hoping that tomorrow will be better. And then you wake up and tomorrow's no different than the last day. We go through seasons like that. We go through times like that. But let me encourage you. Jesus was always there. He was always there. He was always watching. He was always mindful. He was always aware of what was going on. And it says that they've been wrestling for hours. At this point, they're tired. They're exhausted. And it says, then the disciples saw him walking on the water and they were terrified. Come on, they're in the middle of the storm, but it gets worse before it gets better. Like they're in the middle of the storm, and I'm sure it was terrifying. They're in the middle of the storm, and I can't imagine they were on this boat for 20 minutes. I think they were in this boat from early part of the night, and now it's 3 o'clock in the morning. They could have potentially been on this boat for 3 or 4 hours. They're exhausted. They're fed up. They're tired. They're worried. They're terrified. And then suddenly it says it gets even worse. They see what they think is a ghost. And they're terrified. This is what goes on to say. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. Oh my goodness, it's a ghost. We're never going to make it. Every fear has come to the surface. Every fear, the boat's shaking, the boat's sinking, they're sinking. They just know what's going on. They're terrified. It's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them, and then he says these incredible words. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. Wow. Wow, this is Jesus, church. He knows what's going on. He knows the battles of your life. He knows what's going on in your life. And at just the right time, he walks in and he rescues. At just the right time, he walks in and he speaks a word that can transform your situation. And I want us to think about this verse because there's something about this idea of taking courage. It's like you went to the shop and you said, hey, have you got any washing powder? Oh my goodness, maybe we shouldn't even bring this up. But you go to the shop and say, have you got any washing powder? And you're like, just around the corner on the left on the shelf. And you go around and you take it. You know what I'm saying? You take the washing powder. Like if you don't take it, you don't have it. It's like if someone comes with a gift for you to church, they say, hey, I've got a gift for you. Would you remember to take it home? If you don't remember to take it home, then that gift could be somebody else's. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, this is the way life works. It's like, have you ever seen those seals back in the day? I don't know if it's still the same because we all buy online. But you remember before we were clicking to buy stuff, we were running the shops to buy it. And then it was like, that's mine. No, no, it's mine. Like, and we'd wrestle and we'd fight. We weren't fighting the storms. We were fighting other people, because I need that new mop, or I need that new PS5. I don't know what it is, but you need what you need, and I have to get it because it's my TV, it's not yours. And this is the fight. This is the storm. You're like, but you had to take it. No one was bringing it to you. It wasn't click and collect. It was, I have to take it. And it's the same when it comes to our lives, church. There is courage in front of us, and Jesus wants to teach us something in the same way as he wanted to teach the disciples back then. You must take courage. So let's get into this today and encourage your hearts. Courage is a decision. You see, the disciples were terrified. There's wind, there's waves, there's uncertainty. But Jesus, this is what, have you noticed this? Jesus does not speak to the storm first. He speaks to the people first. Wow. Wow. Surely the problem's the storm. Jesus doesn't think so. Surely the problem is the wind and the waves. Jesus doesn't think so. Surely it's the water. Surely it's the boat sinking. Surely it's the problem. Surely it's the storm. That's the issue. Jesus doesn't think so. He speaks to the people first. He speaks to the people first. He speaks to the disciples first. And he says, do not be afraid. Take courage. I am here. Notice that. He doesn't speak to the storm first. He speaks to the people first. Because what's Jesus trying to show his disciples? It's a decision to take courage. It's not based on the circumstances. It's not based on what you see. It's a decision from who you know. It's a decision to take that courage from him. We're not saying take your courage from anybody else. We're saying take your courage from Jesus. And so when you get into the storms of life, when you get into the battles of life, you're going to have to teach yourself to take courage from him, not from anybody else. You're going to have to teach yourself to take courage from him, because courage is not the absence of fear. You ever thought to yourself, oh gosh, I just really hope I'm never afraid again. I don't think that's going to work. I don't think we're going to get situations in our life where we get to one day and we're like, I graduated fear. I will never be fearful again. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think you're going to have to take courage and face fear. I think that's how we overcome. I think that's what the Lord uses for us to overcome and to get better. Number two, I don't think courage is a personality type. You know, sometimes you just think, that person's so courageous. It's just the way they are. You know, like, they just look strong. They just are courageous. They just speak courage. They're just courageous. No, I don't think it's that either. I just don't think it's that either, because I would be limited to just a few people. And I don't think it's natural confidence, because I don't even know what that is. Natural confidence is all good until you get into a worse storm. Natural confidence is all good until whatever you're using breaks down. Natural confidence is all good until you get sick. And then you're like, oh my goodness, I'm not as strong as I thought. I'm not as good as I want to be. And so it has to be more than that. So here's what I believe courage is. Courage is choosing faith whenever you're afraid. That's what I think it is. I think courage is deciding to choose faith even though I'm afraid. Even though there's a gap. You know, right now we're like, we've got these buildings lined up. We've got the people. We're training everyone. Or we're bursting at the seams. We've got so many different things going on. But then there's a gap of the money. Oh my goodness, we're in trouble. No, in that moment, what we have to do is choose courage and take it by faith. Take it by faith, because we recognize it is faith that's going to cause us to overcome. It's faith that's going to bring us to the other side. It is not focusing on what we don't have. It's about focusing in faith on who we have, and his name is Jesus. See, courage is acting before you feel ready. It's like, you know, before you even feel ready. You know, you never ever had this thought of, like, I'll just wait till I feel more ready. It's like you were going, anybody ever done bungee jumping before? Like, at some point, they probably just push you, or you just decide to go. You're not going to be ready unless you've done this whole day before. Like, unless you've done that whole thing before. And then you're like, I know exactly how it works. You step off the edge and you just fall. Whoa. It's like, you're not going to be ready enough. You're just going to have to take courage, and you're going to have to do it. Same with anything in life. Well, maybe you're getting married. Maybe you're starting a new job. Maybe you're going to sell something. Maybe you're going to get something. You're literally going to have to go in spite of feeling ready. At some point, you're going to have to make a decision and take that courage and go for it. See, courage is trusting God and moving while the wind is still strong. Wow. See, this is what's going on, church. Jesus doesn't turn up to the storm and tell the storm off. He turns up, and in fact, he probably tells the people off before he touches the storm. And he says, in the middle of this, guys, while the storm's still raging, I need you to take courage. Wow, this is powerful. In the midst of the storm, Jesus speaks to them. He says, stop worrying about the storm. It's time to take courage. Why? Because I'm here. I'm here. It's like, stop waiting for the circumstances to change. They may not change. Stop waiting for this to change and that to change. It may not change. In fact, it might change a lot longer along down the line. But what you have to do in the meantime is you have to take some courage, because I am here. Jesus is here and he is with you. See, courage is not something you wait to feel. It's something you choose to take. I have to take this courage. I'm not waiting to feel it. If I wait to feel it, I may not ever get it. But instead, I'm taking some courage. And this is why I love this idea of take courage. You know what it implies? It implies that it's available. It's like, it's available. It's not like, think about some courage, feel some courage. It's like, take it. Take it. You've walked into the shop, take it. You've come into the presence of God, take that courage. You've come up into the storm, you're still in the storm, and he says, take the courage. Take the courage. Take whatever you need. I've got everything you need. It's like one of these incredible moments where you come before God, and you know the way life sometimes, you ever been in that horrible position where you come up and you're about to buy something and you realize you don't have enough money? You're like, oh my goodness, can you hold it? I'll be back later. You feel like they probably think I'm trying to steal it. They probably like, but no, you just don't have enough money. It's that awful feeling. So you have to run home and get it, or you borrow it off somebody else, or whatever, whatever. But when you come before the Lord, it's already been done. It's already been taken care of. You're in the storm. You're facing the battles. And he just says, simply take it. Just simply take it. It's right there for you. It's right there for you in the midst of the storm. And church, today we have to learn and teach ourselves to take it even when we don't feel it. You see, when we take courage, here's what it really means. It's to be bold. It's to be confident. It's to be strengthened from within. Jesus doesn't say, find courage. He says, take courage. You ever had a friend? And come on, we all love friends. We all need friends. But you know when they come around and they say, hey, just try and find that strength inside of yourself. You're like, what? I can't find any strength inside of me. I'm a mess. I think you got to find it somewhere. No, Jesus doesn't use that word at all. You know, whenever you're dying out or you're just having the worst day ever, the fact that you would have to go to find something, it sounds horrendous. But Jesus says, no, you just have to take it. You just have to take it. And here was the good news. They didn't have to look very far. He was right in front of them. He walked all the way from the hill right down to the water. And then he walked on the water because he says, guys, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll get to you. And now he's right beside them. And he says, guys, take courage. Take courage. I'm right here. Don't be afraid anymore. It's me. And they're still shell-shocked. And can I make special mention? The storm's still going. The storm is still going. While they're having this conversation, it's like, guys, stop being afraid. You know, he probably has to shout because the wind's going, the waves are going, the boat's going. There might be still some of the guys being sick over the side of the boat because it's chaos. And Jesus turns around and goes, guys, stop. Take courage. Take courage. Don't be afraid. I'm here. You're like, oh, okay, Lord. Okay. Like, you know, you're like, could you chill out the storm first? No, take courage first. Take courage first. Take courage first. Church, why does he say take courage first? Because if you don't take courage first from him, you'll take courage from the circumstances. And guys, we got to get over the circumstances, because there are many times you're going to have to take faith in spite of the circumstances. Amen. When the storm's still raging, when you can barely hear each other, when your friend's about to fall overboard, you know, and Jesus comes and it's like, oh, okay, take courage. Yeah, take courage while you're still in the storm, while you're still in the battle, because it's not about the circumstances. It's all about Jesus. Can I get an amen? Come on, church. This is what it's about. This is what it's about. When we're still in trouble, when I'm still trying to figure some stuff out, when I'm still trying to figure out the gap, when I'm still trying to get recovered, when I'm still trying to do this, that, and the other, I'm going to take courage, because my courage is not based on what's happening. My courage is based on Jesus. Come on, church, this is the word that you came for, that you need to take home with you, because I'm not trying to find courage, I'm just taking it. You see, that courage is there, it's possible, and it's accessible. And then we get to where I just love. You see, I could have read these verses out of any translation. You were so blessed. In the English, there's so many different translations. But the one that I picked on purpose was the NLT. If you're reading from the NLT, you're going to get it like this. I am here. If you have a different version, you may get it, you know, it was slightly different on the words. But I wanted the I am here. Now, where was the last time, or where was the first time that you read about I am in the Bible? Do you remember? All the way back, Exodus chapter 3. It's all the way back to Moses. And Moses is one of these guys. He's like us. He's just a mess. You ever realize that sometimes? You're just a big fat mess. And so Moses is just a mess. And he's just, his life's a mess. He was blessed one minute, then he kills a guy. Now he's running for his life, and he's hiding, and he's embarrassed, and he's ashamed, and he's just a sinful man. And then the Lord finds him one day. He says, Moses, I got an incredible plan for you. And he's like, I'm not worthy. I can't even speak. I stutter all the time. And God says, I don't care. Come, let's go. And then Moses turns around. And he says, but if I'm to go before Pharaoh, am I supposed to do all these things I'm supposed to do? Who will I say has sent me? And the Lord turns around. And he says, you just tell him I am. You're like, whoa, okay. I must be talking to God right now because he doesn't even have a name. He's just I am. You see, when you're called I am, that means you always existed. You weren't even given a name. You just were always there. It's like, when were you born? I am. What's your name? I am. This is who walked on the water to the disciples. I am. And then he makes it even more clear because he goes, I am here. I'm not a million miles away. I'm not over the fields. I'm not with somebody else. I'm right here, boys. Focus on me. The storm's raging. The battle's intense. The diagnosis is terrible. Everybody says it's over. Nobody gives you any hope. But I am is here. I am is here. Amen, church? Come on, God is with you. He's right there in the midst of these things. And that's what gives me hope. Not the circumstances, not the storm, not the lack of the storm, not the sunshine, not the rain, not any of those things. They can all be good. Again, come on. If you're from Northern Ireland, we love to talk about the weather, don't we? Last night you had sleet. This morning you were icy cold. Then you got rain and now you've got sunshine. It's like the beach. Let's go to the beach. Come on. So if you're going to live by the weather in Northern Ireland, you know what you're going to be? Depressed. Like depressed. You're going to be depressed. But if you're going to live by God, you're going to be completely different. You're going to be a son or daughter of God. You're going to see transformation. You're going to walk in breakthrough. You're going to do what Peter does in just a minute. You're going to walk on water. Church, we got to recognize I am is with me. See, my courage is not self-generated. It's presence-generated. When I'm standing beside the Lord, I feel strong. When I know who I belong to, I feel strong. Jesus is showing these disciples, guys, I've walked with you. And we've done some fun stuff together. We fed 5,000. But you remember in the midst of this, there's a real battle that's going on because my best friend just got beheaded. This is what the Lord's trying to show his disciples. It is fun to be in the house of the Lord, but the real life's out there. Amen. Come on. It's fun to be in the presence of the Lord, but there's bills to be paid. There's cancer to be defeated. There's demons to be got out of here. You know what I'm saying? There's people to be reached. There's lost people that need find. There's an urgency on the message. The Lord's coming back. Our hearts need a break. Because there are people that are far from God and they need Jesus. It's a real life thing. And the Lord, he knows what he's doing. Are you telling me that when he went up to pray, you remember who put them on the boat? Jesus. Are you telling me that he didn't know the storm was coming? Are you trying to convince me that God does not know the battle that you're facing right now in your life? But just like any good dad, you know where he is? He's on a high place watching you. He's on a high place. Watch you. Get this today, church. You see, we might be saying to ourselves, oh my goodness, Lord, it's so exciting. We've got our plan of permission. Everything's lining up. But oh my goodness, we're never going to make it because we don't have the money. Let me tell you, Jesus is watching us. He's watching us and he's trying to teach us some things. And he's trying to say to us, guys, if you could get this one, if you could get this in the middle of this little financial storm that you're in, if you could get this in the little battles you're in right now, then I'll bring you to greater days. I will bring you to greater days. But I need you to learn some stuff today so that we can go to tomorrow. I need you to learn some stuff today so that we can get to next week and we can get to next month. You know the way we always want to get to the end. And God said, I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to get you. I'm not even concerned about the storm. I'm concerned about you. I'm trying to get breakthrough in you. All they were trying to get was an end of the storm, and the Lord was trying to get an end to them. He was trying to get more of him inside of them. He was trying to get more of his faith inside of them. He was trying to get more of his life inside of them. But I can't do it for you, so I've got to let you walk through some storms. Church, don't you know that? He's trying to let you walk through some storms. But where is he? He's on a high place and he's watching. And if anything goes wrong, you know where he's going to be? He's going to be right there. He's going to be right there. He's going to be right there, and he's going to rescue you, and he's going to speak life to you, and he's going to look at you in the eye and say, I'm right here. Don't be afraid. Take courage. He's going to encourage you. He's going to be with you in the battle. He's not going to leave you. But you do not take courage from yourself. You take courage from who's standing beside you. And so the question is, who's standing with you? Is it Jesus? It is, of course, if you've given your life to him. But who's standing beside you? Let it be Jesus. Because he's the one that can conquer all fear and conquer all storms. Courage comes from presence, not outcomes. You see, Jesus anchors to courage. It says that when Jesus comes to the disciples, he does not connect the courage to the storm. He connects the courage to himself. This is what's really important, church. He does not connect courage to the storm. Like, for example, as we said, if I take away the storm, you'll have courage. No, because that's a problem then. That's a problem. Because every time a new trouble comes or a new circumstance comes, you lose your courage. And until the circumstance turns around, you'll have no courage. But God says, I don't want my people to live like that. That means you live by sight, but I need you to live by faith. You know what I'm saying, church? The Lord needs us to understand deeper things. He needs us to understand his heart. He said, guys, you got to know, if I am with you, everything changes. Like, if you're in my presence, everything changes. You know, I know for some of us, we're saying to ourselves, but I'm going through a real battle in work. Like, I'm going through a real physical battle right now in my body. I'm going through a real, but are you telling me that the Lord can't work there too? Of course he can. Of course he can. But remember where he is. He waits so that we can learn and grow and figure out some things. And then if we're struggling, then he comes right in and he protects us and he saves us. But all the while, he's trying to get us to learn something, to know something. Because there are bigger battles coming. There are other days ahead. There are bigger storms ahead. And I need you to learn some stuff in this storm, in this day, so that you're more ready for the days to come. The Lord's always trying to encourage us. He's always trying to build us up. So he says, I am here. See, we're not courageous because we have everything. I'm not courageous because I've got everything. You know, sometimes you say to yourself, well, if I had everything, I would be bold. I'd be strong. Yeah, you can live like that. But then it requires all this stuff. It requires all these things. It requires everything to fall into place. Or I'm courageous because I am is here. See, really, when it comes down to it, it's a decision of where is God in my life? Where is God in my life? And how can I build him in? How can I decrease so he can increase? How can I get to know the one who created the heavens and the earth? Isn't it crazy, church, that they're in the middle of the boat and then suddenly the storm rises up. Jesus on the mountaintop praying. He sees all this going on. He's giving them a little bit of space. He's trying to see, are they going to figure this thing out? He's like a good dad just seeing, can they figure it out by themselves? And if not, he's going to come rescue. But notice what happens. The storm begins to rage. He comes, and then God just does whatever he needs to do. And it says that when he begins to walk across the water, what does it say? They become terrified. It's like Jesus comes in, and it gets even more scary. It gets even more terrifying. It just gets even worse, it seems, as Jesus walks on the water. And as he walks on the water, everything begins to change because suddenly he is there. But the storm's still raging. Storm still raging. And I want to say to us today that you could still be in a battle today and the storm is still raging and everything's still in chaos. But if Jesus is there, everything's changing. Everything's turning around. Everything's turning around. And we've got to encourage our hearts. There may be a gap. There may be a wait. There may be an in-between season. But I am is here. And we've got to take courage. I want to read verses 28. Verses 28, Peter calls to him. You see, when all is said and done, courage always requires movement. It always requires movement. It's like, you know, whenever you say to someone, oh, have some courage. But courage is no good unless it moves you. Courage is no good unless it gets you moving forward, unless it gets you giving, unless it gets you saying something different, unless it gets you going in a certain direction. That's exactly what happens. Verse 28, then Peter called him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking in the water. Wow. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come walking on the water. Peter's starting to get something, church. He's starting to get something. If I am is here, doesn't matter about the storm, doesn't matter what's going on in the circumstances, doesn't matter about logic, doesn't matter about reason. If Jesus is here, I can do the impossible. If Jesus is here. Come on, if Jesus is right beside you, then I can do what nobody else can do. I can come to him. And notice what the Lord says. Yeah, come, let's go. And you know what's incredible about this? He makes no guarantee to him. He makes no promise to him. He doesn't say, you're going to walk in water, Peter. He just says, come. Isn't that unbelievable? It's like, you know, Peter, I think if I was in those positions, I'd be like, Jesus, are you really sure now? When I step out of this boat, am I going to walk in water? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, just give it a go. Okay, Jesus. No, it's not like that at all. Peter comes out with this audacious request, and he says, Lord, if I can walk, can I come? Can I come? And Jesus says, sure, come. You ever been in that position before where you're like, you know, you really knew how to do something and then someone really tests you, you're like, oh my goodness, give me a break. I'll be back in 5 minutes. You know, I'm not sure if this thing's going to work. But Jesus knows exactly this thing's going to work because he walks on water. He does whatever he needs. Water becomes concrete when Jesus turns up. Water does whatever happens because everything obeys him. Everything obeys Jesus. Nothing obeys me. I don't know if anybody obeys you, but only Jesus gets true obedience. And he just decides to walk on that water. And he walks right on it. And Peter says, can I come? And Jesus says, yeah, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water towards Jesus. But when he saw the storm, the wind and the waves. Wow. Guys, are you serious that we've read this whole story and the wind and the waves are still going? Like, are you serious that Jesus has told us to take courage, that he's told us to not be afraid, he's told us that he's here? We spent a whole 20, 30 minutes talking about this thing, and the storm is still going. And so when Peter asked to Jesus, it's not like a quiet thing. It's like, Lord, is there any way that I can come to you? He's like, come. You know what I'm saying? Like, the storm's still going, church. It's not a beach. It's not a perfectly calm water. You know, sometimes in your mind, you're just like, oh, it'll be perfectly calm. It's like just glossy calm. No, it's still chaos. It's like, ah, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes your best prayers are prayed whenever there's chaos. It's like, ah, you know, like kids are throwing stuff. Your husband's going mad. I don't know. You know, people run around the house and in the middle of it, you're going, Jesus, please come through. This is life, church. It's like it's chaos. I've lost my best friend. I've just fed 5,000. There's storms everywhere. Life's going chaos. But in the midst of all, Jesus, come and help me. Come and help me. The storm's still raging. Everything's going crazy. And Peter, in the middle of it, goes, I know, I've got a good idea. Can I come out onto the water with you as well? And Jesus says, yeah, come. Yeah, come. Come on, church. This is how life works. Wouldn't it be so amazing that there was no storms? Wouldn't that be so good? Wouldn't it be so amazing that we just spent every day with Jesus and we just sit on beaches and it would always be a perfect temperature and our favorite drink would be there and our favorite food would be on the way and whenever we like, we'd go in the sea and the sound would never annoy us. Wouldn't it be so cool if life was just so perfectly that? But it is not. But let me tell you this. You can take courage in every storm. And even when the storm is raging, and even when nothing makes sense, and even when it seems like everything else is crazy, you can turn around with an audacious request, and you can say to Jesus, can I come? And he says, yes, sure, come. And Peter walks on water. Make no mistake about it. He just becomes like Jesus, and he walks on water. And the craziest thing happens. It's only when that storm, when he remembers, oh my goodness, there's still a storm. And the minute that he remembers that, he begins to sink. But then, church, even at that, he's not lost. He's still won because he turns around and he shouts and he cries out, save me. He becomes terrified and begins to sink. And verse 31, Jesus immediately reaches out and he grabs him. And then I just love how cool Jesus is. Do you just love how cool Jesus is? Like while he's rescuing him, he tells him off. Peter, come on. Come on. Have we not been through some stuff? Did you not see that I'm still standing in the waves, even though the waves are trying to go crazy? Like, you know, it's like almost like Jesus is in the sea and the sea's trying to be disobedient. And Jesus says, I don't even care. I'll stand on these waves. I'll stand in this water. I'll do whatever I need to do. Like Jesus is just ultimate cool, isn't he? You're like, everyone's still in chaos. Everyone's still going mad. And it's like Jesus just having a cup of tea. And then Peter says to him, come, can I walk on water with you as well? And Jesus says, yeah, come. And Peter gets out of the boat and all the rest of the guys are probably still on the boat, probably being sick over the side of the boat because remember the storm's still going. And they're like, oh my goodness, are we ever going to get out of this thing? And Jesus is right there, take courage, stop being afraid, I am here. And they're still going, oh my goodness, can we ever get out of this boat? This storm's crazy, we're seasick, it's chaos, it's madness, it's everything else. And Jesus goes, you got to learn to take courage because I am here. Come on, you're not in heaven yet. Heaven's coming one day. But disciples, but church, but vibe in 2026, I need to teach you some things. That you will have faith even when there is no money in the bank. That you would have faith even when your best friend, you've lost them. I need you to have some faith that even though you've been walking on some water, you're beginning to sink. I need you to have some faith that even when the circumstances are all against you and nobody seems to get it, I need you to have some faith. Amen? I need you to have some faith that even in the midst of all of that, something would rise up inside of you and you would say, Jesus, can I walk with you on the water? He's like, I just love Peter. He's just like, he's such like a big kid in the midst of chaos. He's going, can I have some fun? Church, this is what the Lord is trying to get to our hearts. It does not matter about the storm. Doesn't matter about it whatsoever. You know, the only thing he cares about is you. It's the only thing. We get obsessed about the storm, but all that Jesus gets obsessed about is you. That's it. That's it. And so, church, today I want to encourage you, we're going to finish right now. But Jesus is here, and he needs to grab your attention just for these last few moments, so do not miss it. Do not miss it. Because here's the battle of life. In here, it all makes sense. Everything makes sense. It's like you get to church, it's like, oh my goodness, it's amazing. It's amazing. Feeding the 5,000, no big deal. We can believe for it all day long. Then I get to Monday. Oh, I'm the worst Christian ever. Life's the worst ever. I hit my boss. You know, like all those different things. But it's the storms where you need him. It's the storms where you need him. It's the storms where you need Jesus. It's in those moments where you need to know where he is, and you need to be able to talk to him, and he needs to be able to talk to you. You ever had that friend that comes around you in your middle of the storm and they say, can we pray about it? And you're like, ah, I just want to hit you. You know, it's the same. Yeah. You got that friend, you're like, oh, I just really think God's going to bring you through. I know, but I'm struggling, you know. But church, we need to get to a place where we're going through the storm, and in spite of the storm, we're still praising. Amen. And where we're going through the storm, and in spite of the storm, we're still saying, can I walk on water? Where we're going through a battle, where we've been, remember the disciples have been hours on this boat, hours on this boat. They're at their wits' end, a lot of them. They've been fighting. They're tired. They're exhausted. They don't have much physical strength left. And then Jesus just chills all the way up to the side of the boat. Hey, how you doing, guys? And they're terrified. They're like, what? It's a ghost. They're hallucinating. They're so tired. They don't even recognize Jesus. Church, can I encourage you with this? It will not be based on your performance that will get you breakthrough. It will be based on your relationship with Jesus. Come on, that's all you need. That's all you need. Do you know where he is? He's right beside you. But the funny thing about Christian faith is that he could be beside you and inside of you, and you could feel like a million miles away from him. Because it's this. This is where the battle's at. And I want to encourage you today. You might be in the middle of the storm. You might be about to walk into a storm. Jesus might even let you walk into the storm. But he's in control, and he's right with you. And you've got to recognize where he is, and you've got to find him in the midst of that storm. See, Peter gets no guarantee that he's going to survive this. He gets no guarantee that he's going to walk on water. He just gets a word. He just gets a word. And that's all I've got to offer you today is a word. What he's done before, I think he will do it again. What he has done before in the storms, I think he will do again. And I think it will become a story that's forever told. I think what the Lord has shown us, and maybe you saw the plans last week, and maybe you saw the building, and maybe you've got a friend that's not saved yet. I think it's going to become a story that's going to be told for generations. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're believing for. This is not a story that's going to be here for 5 minutes and gone for the next. No chance. Just no chance. It's going to be a story that's going to unfold and grow and be told for generations, and you're part of the story. But we got to take courage, and we got to learn how to take courage. Can we stand together, church? We're going to pray. Courage should always get us moving. Courage should always get us moving. Thank you, Lord. So here's my question. What would change today if you took courage? See, the whole story about the storm, it's not about the storm at all. It's about the disciples. And the reason that the storm stopped, it maybe didn't even stop. Jesus just, he does whatever he needs to do. But the whole story is about the disciples. And what will they do when trouble comes? Will they forget their relationship with God? Will they try to do it in their own strength? And they tried to do it in their own strength for hours, trying to battle that storm. They couldn't do it. They just weren't not enough. The storm was too great for them. But how incredible, but also how humbling must it have been when they thought about the storm the next day. You know, you have that nervous laugh. Yeah, you know, you get those nervous laughters. But they must have been humbled the next day, because after hours and hours of fighting the storm, they talk about it the next day and they go, but Jesus, he just walked right through it. He just walked right through it. I think sometimes about walking on water, and I think to myself, well, if the conditions were just right, and maybe it was a little bit frozen, and I was well prayed up, then I'd be able to walk on water. But it's almost like Jesus turns around, and the conditions are so bad, he just shows off, and he walks right on water. And here's my encouragement, church, is that God wants to walk with you, and God wants to cause you to walk into places that you have no right to walk into. Peter had no right to walk on water. None. No authority for it. No right for it. not meant to do it at all. But if you hang out with Jesus, you will walk into rooms that you have no authority for, that you have no right to be in, but you'll walk in as a son of God. Amen? Come on, if you know the Lord and you know where He is, and you recognize that the I Am is beside you, you will walk into rooms, you'll walk into situations, and you'll say, but I'm a daughter of the King. A daughter of the King. This is all about identity. This whole story, you might have got confused. You might have thought it's all about a storm. This whole story is about identity. The whole thing's about identity. That's all it's about. I have to tell you a quick story as we finish. There's a guy listening to this, preaching this last week, really enjoying his messages. And he tells about a story, and it's about a woman called Barbara in his church. And he said that he had this truck. He'd moved from one part of Canada to America, and he could not get his truck registered. Just couldn't get it registered. And everybody told him, go to the MOT office, and you just do this, you do that. And every time he would go, it would not work. And so for 2.5 years, he couldn't drive his truck, his favorite truck. Can you imagine this? You know, it's like his favorite thing. Couldn't drive it. And then one day, this woman from his church texts him and says, hey, I'll help you get your truck fixed. Get it MOT'd or registered or whatever it is you had to do. And he was like, oh. You know, he's just like, you've been battling something for so long, and then somebody tells you you're going to be able to do it, and you're like, oh, it's the last thing I need to hear. And he goes, okay, so do it. So they arrange a time, they go to the office. And he gets excited already because he says, when we walked into the office, there was a queue all the way outside the door. But Barbara did not wait for the queue. She bypassed the queue, and she walked all the way to the front desk. And she turned around, and she says, this guy is not leaving, and we're not leaving until we get this truck registered, so it better happen, or we're going nowhere. Barbara had authority, because she worked there for 25 years. She had authority. She knew who she was. She knew who she was. She was not walking in like anybody else in the queue. She was walking in like she owned the place. This is my house. I get what I want, and my friend will get what I have too. Come on, church, this is us. When we walk in, it's about identity. I'm not on the boat alone. Jesus is always with me. I'm not worried about sinking. I'm going to walk on water if required. I'm not worried about this thing or that thing because I'm walking with the Lion. And when I walk with the Lion, everything changes. When I walk with Jesus, everything changes. When I go to my workplace, everything changes. I'm not walking in alone. Don't walk in alone. Walk with Him and watch what can happen. Praise the Lord. Come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I pray today for courage, but I'm not praying that we're going to find it. I'm not praying that we're going to get it from the inside out. I'm praying we're going to take it. But we got to understand who we are, because if we don't understand who we are, we will not walk on water. But Peter, in that moment, the courage that rose up in him led him to do something. And what led him to do something was he said, I'll be like Jesus then. He went for the stars. He went for everything. He says, Jesus, let me come. He didn't wait for an assurance. He didn't wait for a guarantee. He didn't wait to how it would be done. He didn't wait to know how to do it. Jesus just said, come, and he jumped out. Lord, I pray that our identity would not be found in anyone or anything else but you. But you. I pray, Lord, that when the storm comes, the bills come, the anxieties come, the I can't do it come, I'm not sure what to do comes, I've never been this way before comes, I pray when all those things come, we will not look at them, we will look at you. Take courage. Lord, I pray we're going to walk into that shop. I pray we're going to walk into heaven. I pray we're going to walk into our prayer closet and we're going to say, okay, I'm going to take this. I'm going to take courage because of what the Lord has done for me. I'm not going to be afraid because I am. He's right with me. The Lord is with me. And so, Lord, I pray today, what would it look like if we took courage today? How would it affect our tomorrow? How would it affect our giving? How would it affect our time? How would it affect our family? How would it affect our lifestyle? If I was to take courage, not from what I see, but from who I know, from Jesus Himself. Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray you would come and you would do all that you need to do today. Come and do all that you need to do. Come and change this heart of mine. Come and change the heart of each person in this room. Lord, come and encourage us. Come and remind us. Come and convince us if required. Take courage. Take courage. And Lord, I pray the last thing is that we would recognize who created the storm. It would have been so easy to quit in that moment. It would have been so easy just be like, Lord, we can't cope with this. We can't cope with this. Just take us back to shore. But in that moment, they learned something that they would never forget. Our Master, even the winds and the waves obey Him. Nothing's impossible with Him. Nothing's impossible. And Lord, I pray today this is what we would get and we would never forget. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, church, we're going to sing.